Staying clean in the storm. So in our first speaker, I'm going to give y'all Jimmy.
I'm an addict. My name's Jimmy. First, I'd like to thank God and Narcotics Anonymous for allowing me to have another day clean, for bringing me back in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, place you people in my life. For that, I'm truly grateful. I know it's only through God's grace and mercy that I'm here today. Without God's grace and mercy, I know it wouldn't be no me. Another thing I like to do, I always like to invite God in and ask him to use me as an instrument and a tool to carry a clear message of hope and a promise of freedom. Another thing I always like to do, I always like to ask everybody to hug the person beside them and let them know that you love them. You know, I think that's real important.
Ain't no question.
You never know who don't get a hug, man. You know.
Come on,
bro. I ain't leaving
nobody. Oh,
you alright?
Yeah.
I also like to welcome the newcomer and the person just getting back. I want to let you know that we love you. You know what I'm saying? And I also like to thank the Chesapeake Potomac Regional Convention for inviting me to come down to share my experience, strength, and hope of recovery. You know, when I got this commitment, you know, my good friend Wayne from Virginia, you know, called me up with this commitment. And I kind of struggled a little bit with this commitment because it's a midnight commitment. And I'm usually in bed at this time of night. My whole lifestyle since coming into Narcotics Anonymous has changed. I'm usually asleep by 9 or 10 o'clock. No longer am I awake at midnight, especially during the week. Usually on Saturday also, I'm usually asleep so I can get up early enough to make service. You know, that's what I do. So when he told me, first he went from a 12 o'clock noon meeting, which I said, well, you know, I probably won't get up to about 8 or 9 in the morning. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it at noon. He said, no problem. I'll call you back with another meeting that you'll have able time to get down from Philadelphia. So when he said midnight, I said, you sure gave me enough time to get down to Ocean City. So I really couldn't argue the fact when he gave me the midnight meeting. Listen, I just want to share and let the newcomer know that this is a responsibility when you get behind this podium to carry our message. It's not easy. It's still hard at times for me to carry this message at this podium. It's not easy to do this on any given day. So my topic is staying clean through the storm. Listen, and I want to share with you, you never know when the storm is going to come. So what I'm trying to share with you is you got to build a foundation from the first day you start coming to Narcotics Anonymous. Listen, I'm talking about as soon as you come into Narcotics Anonymous, you got to put something into this to get something out of it. Because you never know at that moment when the disease of addiction is going to show up. It only takes a split moment for when the disease shows up if you're not prepared. Listen, if you're not prepared when it shows up, it might back you into a corner where you might not come out clean. So listen, my experience is if you play with this thing. Listen, I've been coming here since 1984, 1986. Listen, I can't even remember when I first came into Narcotics Anonymous because I came to Narcotics Anonymous by way of force. Listen, everybody in my family thought I had a drug problem. All my friends thought I had a drug problem. Everybody thought I had a drug problem but me. Listen, I shot dope for 20 years and still didn't think I had a problem. It didn't dawn on me until I got here, like, why people were looking at me so strange in the summertime, because I was wearing long sleeve shirts. Listen, I was saying, damn, why are they looking at me like that, right? I was wearing long sleeve shirts to cover up my tracks, right? And it didn't dawn on me, like, Jimmy, you got a problem. So, like, you know, when I came here and I heard people sharing about, like, living in the streets, not washing, not changing their clothes, eating out of trash cans, I really thought I didn't belong here then. I said, boy, them people got a problem. They need some real help. I didn't experience none of that. After shooting dope for 20 years, I was still washing. I was still changing my clothes. I was still living okay, even though I was in my mother's house. Listen, I'm trying to tell you something. Listen, I was in denial for so long. Look, the disease of addiction put me in denial at the age of 10. I don't know about anybody else, but I start using at the age of 10. Listen, I come from the streets of Philadelphia. I come straight from the ghetto. Listen, it wasn't easy. I was using to cover up my feelings, right? So when I covered them up with dope, you know, my first instinct, my first hint that I had a problem was my grandmother. She loved me to death. And she said, Jimmy, if you don't stop smoking that weed, it's going to lead to worse things. Little did I know that I was getting help, but couldn't understand that God was using my grandmother to give me some information that I couldn't take in. Because when you're in denial, listen, you can't take in no good information, because you already think that you're in control of your life, that you don't have a problem. That's the disease's job, to let you think that you don't have a problem. So when people said that I had a problem in 20 years, I really still didn't believe I had a problem. But something happened in 1988. Listen, I had left this fellowship, right? And something happened on this particular day. I was at my mother's house. And I made the transformation from shooting dope to smoking crack. That's why, listen, I don't know about anybody else, but I thank God for crack. Because if it wasn't for crack, I probably wouldn't be here today. Something happened that day that I remember real clearly. I went down to 9th and Indiana on Hutchinson Street, down in the graveyard. Listen, and something happened that day that, like, everything that I said within I didn't go home for 38 months. So I started to recognize that, like, that was a problem. Listen, I got caught up in a 4-block radius around 9th and Indiana in the graveyard. I'm talking about being caught in the graveyard. No hopes, no dreams. Listen, all the things I said that I didn't do, I did. I didn't wash. I didn't change my clothes. I ate out of the trash cans. I became a bum on the street. I slept in the subway, slept in the cardboard boxes. Listen, my life was reduced to animalistic level. If it wasn't for a crack, I wouldn't be here today. So somewhere in 1991, after 27 arrests, 4 felony convictions, by way of force through the justice system, I came back to Narcotics Anonymous. So I want to share with the newcomer, I don't care how you got here, just stay here. Listen, you don't never have to use drugs another day in your life. Now, relapse is in my story. And I'm not proud of it, but this is my story. And my story is the best story I ever heard. I don't know about yours, but mine's enough to keep me here to stay clean. But I want to share with you. Listen, you never know when the storm is going to show up. You never know. Listen, I have 4 years clean, making meetings, got a sponsor, sponsoring people, sharing all over. But if you share clean and living dirty, the disease will show up and make you a true believer. Listen, I came here and I start selling drugs. Listen, one thing they said, don't work. And I ran with that because I've never worked. So when they said don't work, I didn't work. I just made meetings. And somewhere after about 2 years clean, I got a great idea that I thought I could sell drugs in Narcotics Anonymous. But I'm here to tell you, if you selling drugs, because somebody out there selling drugs, if you selling drugs, it's only a matter of time. Listen what I'm trying to tell you. with 4 years clean, the disease showed up, and I wasn't prepared to stay clean through the storm. Why? Because I had counterfeit 12 steps, 12 traditions in my life. I was faking it. People were saying, fake it till you make it. I'm here to tell you, don't fake it till you make it. Because if you fake it, the disease will show up. Listen, I was faking it. And when it showed up, I wasn't prepared to go through the storm clean. And I wind up using. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but when you lose your clean time, it does something to you on the inside, let alone denial, guilt, shame. All the things start turning up. I didn't want to come back. But I remember the password was help. So after 30 days, I had called for help. And I was stuck in an apartment. I have an everything must go for sale when I use. I don't know about anybody else. But I sell everything. You know, I had the Mr. T starter kit, all the jewelry, all the nice clothes. Yeah, I'm talking about back then. You know, everybody, listen, what you had, I wanted. So I got just to be accepted because of my low self-esteem, my low self-worth. I wanted y'all to just love me. I didn't know I just needed to be who I wanted to be. Be who God created me to be. Be yourself, Jimmy. Stop faking it. You don't need all that damn jewelry. You don't need a new car. You just need to stay clean, Jimmy, for when the disease of addiction shows up. So I called my sponsor. And I called my sponsor. I said, I need help, man. I had sold everything in my apartment. I sold all my jewelry, both cars, everything. You know, it's something about when you get clean. You buy all new stuff. I was carrying my stuff across the street. It ain't no shame in the game when the disease shows up and you use. I was carrying my stuff across the disease, across the street to the neighbors, the TVs, everything. And the only thing that was left was the icebox and the gas range. And I was trying to figure out, how can I get that out without nobody seeing me? Like I really cared, right? And somebody called the landlord. And the landlord came and I forgot. Listen, I'm just trying to share with you. If you forget for a split second, the disease will show up to see if you're ready to go back out and use. And I forgot I had called my sponsor, and my landlord came. And he said, listen, if you just get out of the apartment, I'll give you your rent money back, your security deposit. That was $750. And my mind told me that, like, take the money. And if something happened, when he handed me the money, my sponsor had pulled up. I said, damn, what are you doing here? I forgot that I called him. Look, that quick. Listen, let me just read this here. Well, look, it says, it's the first one. It starts the deadly cycle all over again. When you forget, Jimmy, when you get amnesia and you forget where you came from, you will go back. It will be worse. So I ran out the car. I said, the rehab said the bed won't be ready till tomorrow. Listen, he looked at me and just shook his head. He said, meet me at the home group tomorrow, because my mind told me with $750, I had another day of using. But I'm here to tell you how the disease of addiction's job is to lie to you, to make you believe things that ain't true, to get you in a delusion instead of a reality. Listen, so like within 2 hours, all the money was gone. I was broke again. You know, when you in the crack house, right, they say, you got the room for the night? Just give me a couple, right? They keep knocking on the damn door, disturb me, and throw me something under the door. Listen, he knocked on the door. There wasn't nothing else left after about 2 hours. He said, you got to go, Jimmy. I said, I thought I had the room for the night. He said, man, somebody else needs room, you got to go. And up to today, I still don't know through God. I know through God's grace and mercy. I know that there is a God and it's not me. Listen, I had a token in my pocket, right? And I caught the subway 10 o'clock the next morning. I showed back up in a meeting. I don't know about anybody else. That's hard to do when you're using. Listen, I smoke crack in a meeting. I use methadone in a meeting. Listen, you got to come clean, Joker, sooner or later. You got to stop all the drugs. You got to stop drinking that methadone, Jimmy. You ain't clean, Joker. You just abstaining from heroin. You got to get off that methadone, Jimmy. So I made it to a meeting. And they said, anybody here with 24 hours or less? I got my hand up. And they took me off to a rehab. Listen, I'm saying, listen, in my heart, I didn't want to use again, man. They sent me back to a rehab. I thank God for the rehabs. I couldn't stop on the street. I went back to a rehab, right? And I'd be getting these great damn ideals, right? Like, you know, I had another 3 years clean. They said, then my sponsor said, what are you going to do different, Jimmy? I said, I ain't going to sell drugs. Listen, I'm going to do the cellular phones. Listen, it's something about hustling in Narcotics Anonymous. Listen. I'm here to tell you, man, if you're hustling, it's only a matter of time. Listen, I did the cable boxes. I sold drugs. I did the phony money, the food stamps. Listen, the clothes. You think about the hacking. I don't know if y'all know what hacking is down here. That's illegal taxi driving. Listen, I did it all. And what I've learned through this program is that when you compromise your morals and your values for money, property, or prestige, it's only a matter of time before you use. Listen, it says we can't get enough sex, money, food, all that. Anything that takes you outside of yourself, Jimmy, it's only a matter of time before the disease of addiction shows up. So what do you got to do, Jimmy? You got to build a solid foundation. What's a solid? Listen, for when the hurricane comes, for when the storm comes, Jimmy, you got to have that foundation. You know, them people in Miami know something. They know when the hurricane comes, they start putting the damn wood up against the walls and stuff, right? So what I want to share with the newcomer, you got to prepare for when the storm comes, right? Because you got to learn how to stay clean because it is going to come. Everybody gets a turn in Narcotics Anonymous. Don't laugh at somebody because they gone through something in a relationship. Listen, they say you become homeless, jobless, and penniless in recovery. So don't laugh at somebody because you think they going through it. It's only a matter of time before it's your turn. So listen, I'm building my foundation. I done been beat up enough. So now, like the last time, you know, I was going across the street to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, I didn't get back this quick. And the last time they tried to kill me, Butch, they beat me down so bad at 7th and Huntington. Like, listen, I had called on God. And I said, God, if you get me out of this, I won't hustle no more. Because I've learned, like, if the drugs don't kill you, the lifestyle will. Listen, so when I came back this time, I have made a commitment to God. I don't know about anybody else, but I made a couple commitments. I made a commitment to God not to hustle, and I made a commitment to myself to stay clean. So what did I do in order for the foundation to get strong? I started taking, they said the steps are the best guarantee against relapse. So if you're not taking, if you ain't did a fourth step, Joker, it's only a matter of time, they told me. They said, Jimmy, you got to do a moral inventory. You got to check yourself before you wreck yourself again. So I started taking the steps over again. And I hate writing. I hate that 12-step guide. Because I don't like to write. I really don't like to write. I done picked it up, outlined everything in the book. But the first step got about 92 questions. I don't want to write 92 questions. For real. But Jimmy, if you want to stay here, if you want to put a guarantee, if you want to put some foundation, some cement in the foundation for when the storm comes, you need to do it. So I've been coming here for the last 6 years again. Going on 6 years, right? And I've been through some storms. Listen, we're 12 days clean. It's something you know in your heart when you're not going to use again. I already know I'm never going to use again. I don't know about you, but I already know it. I had 12 days clean. I'm in a recovery house. They smoking weed, they smoking crack, and they shooting dope. My sponsor said, Jimmy, anything that interferes with your recovery must go. If it's your wife, if it's your job, if something's interfering with your recovery, it must go, Jimmy. Listen, they were interfering with my recovery. So I became the house manager. I snitched on them all. They all took a urine test. Listen, and they left. Listen, It ain't even about snitching. It's about staying clean. Listen, this is a life and death situation. It just ain't no joke. Listen, so I knew, listen, the girl I was with for 7 years got murdered on Christmas Day. Listen, I didn't use. I had started to build the foundation. I realized that I was staying clean for when the storm showed up. Listen, I knew in the relationship, in marital class, when she said, I'm not ready. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but when you're engaged and you're in premarital class and you make all these plans with the woman you think you want to marry and she says, I ain't ready, boy, the storm is showing up. Listen, your recovery is going to get tested. That's why we try to tell the newcomer, stay out of relationship. Give yourself a break. Because, look, listen, relationships is a terrible, painful area. It don't matter how much time you got clean. So when she said, I'm not ready, I really couldn't handle my emotions. So anger and stuff sit in. And what I realized when I let fear sit in, when the disease of addiction shows up in fear, I know it will contaminate my faith. Once my faith is contaminated, listen, I am in trouble. I go back to all the old behaviors that I used to do. Resentment, anger, fear. So I flatten the tires. Twice. Not once, twice. And it's something about, listen, it was better than putting my hands on her. Listen, I will put my hands on you. I was brought up like that. It ain't no joke. That ain't a man when you got to put your hands on your wife or your woman. So I've learned to, like, not to do that, right? So, like, when I only had about 18 months when I came back. And I was in church. And I came out of church and seen that new vehicle. I said, she won't get home today. Maybe she'll call me for assistance, right? And I flattened her tires, right? Listen, because I know one thing, you got to get honest with you. It ain't about you, it's about me getting honest so I don't use no damn more. I knows how. Listen, let me just share this real quick, man. I love the book because it's all about me in the book. Tell my story. It said, in our disease, we are dealing with a destructive, violent power greater than ourselves that can lead to relapse. So what that's telling me is, like, Jimmy, you better get something bigger than you. You better get a higher power. You better stay in prayer. You better maintain your recovery. Pray to God. Ask him to help you stay clean. I didn't know how to pray. So what they told me, they said, Jimmy, put your shoes underneath the bread. When you get up in the morning, lift down and get your shoes while you're down there. Ask God to help you get another day clean and thank him at the end of the night. It's in the book. That was the only prayer I knew. So when I flatten her tires, it's something about you get a conscience here. Next thing you know, I flattened them on a Sunday. That Tuesday, I was sending money in an envelope. And she called me and said, what was the money for? I said, I don't know. I just felt sending you some money. She said, you flattened my damn tires. Right? Right? And then the second time, I wound up saying, just give me the car. And I took it to Pep Boys and got her all four new tires. You know what I mean? Because it's something about when you're making amends. It ain't just saying, I'm sorry. Man, people are tired of hearing that from us. We sorry. Man, listen, you got to make an amends. Listen, people say they don't pay back drug dealers. Listen, I paid them back. This is my story. I owed drug dealers, and I thought I was one of the best. I owed these young boys across the street from my mom. And every time I came out the door, it was something that happened in my spirit. Yo, old head, what's up? Man, I got tired of that young boy hollering, yo, old head. Because I don't think I'm that damn old anyway. You know what I mean? And what happened, something said, go to him and make an agreement. And I went to him, I owed him $700. I said, you and me both know them joints were small. You shouldn't have gave me all that stuff anyway. You knew I was smoking. right? I said, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to give you 300 hours, and we're going to go on a payment plan. And I did to him what he did to me, $20 at a time, 4 and 8 at a time. And something happened when I got down to about $160 and $180. Something said, Jimmy, if you want to experience freedom, just pay them off. And something happened. I gave the boy the money. I gave him $160. He said, damn, old head, you all right, old head? Listen, but something happened. The next day when I came out of my house, he ain't hollering, yo, old head, what's up? Jimmy. What's happening, man? You all right? Listen. So I want to share with you. I'm going to wrap it up with this. I had stayed clean. And the last storm I want to share with you is this. Recently, I want to share two things. I got 27 arrests for a felony conviction. Career criminal. I'm on a point system in Philadelphia. I'm the career criminal status. You know, when I went down to the graveyard for 38 months, all the things happened to me. You know, I thought I was a good booster. But I found out after writing a 4-step, Jimmy, you was just a thief. Right? And because I, you know, we get names, labels up in here, a booster and all that, you know what I mean? And I, you know, but I found out, are you just a damn thief and dishonest? And you know, my sponsor, when I came back this last time, he said, Jimmy, what you going to do different? I said, I think I'm going to get a real job. He said, damn, I think that's a good idea. You know what I mean? And listen, when I want to share about the fellowship, man. Man, y'all love me. When I came back this last time, man, y'all just gripped me up. That's why I say hug somebody. Let them know you love them. Because y'all love me, man. I was so beat down this last time from the graveyard. I didn't have no hopes, no dreams. Y'all just took me in, took me to conventions. I had no money. I'm in a recovery house. They said, we really want to see if you got what we offer. Walk the meeting. And I'm walking to meetings, people are picking me up. I'm in Ohio with 90 days clean. I had put in some applications. I'm talking about, listen, God will do for me what he would do for you. Listen, he took me out of the graveyard at 9th in Indiana. No hopes, no dreams. Listen, I had put in some applications. On my applications, I put taxi driver and USMC. I didn't have no resume. I'm not hating on nobody that got the degrees. Listen, I have a GED, a good enough diploma. But I'm talking about, listen. I dropped out of school, man. I told you I've been using since I was 10 years old. I couldn't handle school. But I got my GED, man. I don't know about anybody else. That's a whole lot, man. When you ain't got nothing. Listen, when you ain't got nothing. So I come back from Boston, 92 days clean. The guys in the recovery house said, Jimmy, they called you for a job. I said, oh, man, look, it's something about when you get offered for a job. So I run down to the job, right? And the guy, you know, it was something back then. They said, you know, I ain't working for the white man. I said, I ain't working for him either. Listen, you know, it was just, I didn't want to work for anybody. I didn't care what color they was. But it was something about when I went there, it was a white man that interviewed me, right? And I'm talking about, you got to recognize the disease of addiction and you got to recognize God. When God showed up in the interview, I had recognized it was God showing up in the interview. I'm talking about 27 arrests for a felony conviction. The white guy said, what happened to your cab? I said, I lost it, right? And listen, he said, I see you as a jarhead. I had recognized that God was showing up in the interview because it took one jarhead to know another jarhead, just like it takes one addict to know another addict. I knew God was showing up. I said, yes, sir. I'm talking about something happens with 92 days clean. I start saying, yes, sir, to the white man because I've always had a problem with authority figures. I start recognizing he was in charge. I said, yes, sir. I was in the Marine Corps. He said, do you want a job? Yes, sir. Listen, he said, can you pass your analysis test? I'm talking about the freedom with 92 days clean. You know you can piss clean for the first time in your life, Jimmy. I'm talking about there's freedom in that, right? I said, yes, sir, right? I'm talking about the first step says we must completely change our old ways of thinking or go back to using. He said, Jimmy, give me $50. If you pass your analysis test, you get the job. I said, damn, he getting ready to run a scheme. Because I ain't never heard nobody say, give me $50 taking your analysis test, right? I'm talking about the old thinking showed up, but I had recognized it was a disease, right? And I had $35. I've always cop short. I said, I got $35. He said, give me. He took the $35. Listen, I'm talking about, I took the your analysis test. Listen, I'm talking about, I've never worked. I'm talking about, God met my needs. He knew I couldn't hustle in Narcotics Anonymous. God met my needs. I called him the next day. He said, you got the job. Well, I knew I passed your analysis test. I had 92 days clean, right? So I went down. The only thing I think about, how much are you going to pay me? Right, so that's the first thing I asked. Sir, how much you pay? He said, $7. $7. Next door, he said, you must learn to crawl before you can walk, Jimmy. I said, I'll take the job, right? I started out on the broom. I didn't know it was a union job. I've been on the same job going on 6 years. I'm talking about I make double that amount. I got Blue Cross Blue Shield I don't pay a dime for. I got vacation days, personal days, sick days, bonus days. I'm talking about God will meet your needs. I don't care. You can be anything you want to be in this program. You can accomplish anything you want to accomplish. You can get degrees, get your driver's license. Listen, I've never been to a program where people can't read or write, but by the end of the year, they're reading and writing, they're reading the literature, writing their names, signing checks, whatever. You can be whatever you want to be in this program. So I want to just share the recent storm I've been through. I got 2 minutes. Man said that's time. December 3rd. This last year. That's why I say you don't know when the disease is going to show up. I'm a young man, 49 years old. I'm proud of my age. Arthritis tore both my hips up. Man said, Jimmy, you need 2 new hips. I said, 2 new hips? He said, you need 2 new hips, Jimmy. He said, listen, it's better to get 2 new hips. Because the healing takes place for 2 as it done for 1, as it does for 1. I said, all right. So I went back into prayer, and I said, God, will you please show up with miraculous healing? I'm talking about if y'all knew me last year, I was walking like this in a bunch of pain. Listen, God showed up. I was in the operating room a long time. I had 2 blood transfusions, but I'm talking about my faith was so strong going in. I knew I was going to be okay through the storm. I knew when they gave me the Demerol and morphine that I was going to let them know that I was a recovering addict, that I was going to come out of this storm clean when they wanted to give me the oxycodone and the Percocets. Listen, I'm talking about miraculous healing showed up. They didn't understand. In 5 weeks, I didn't have no cane, no walker. I was walking on my own. Within 12 weeks, I was back at work at my union job as a machine operator, going from the broom to a machine operator at a union job. I'm talking about I came through the storm clean. Why? Because I built the foundation that would need to be built in here. The 12 steps, the 12 traditions, the sponsor, the fellowship, the love of the fellowship. All that you need in here is everything. You don't need some of it. You need it all. So if you think you hate somebody, go up and love them. Go up and give them a kiss because you never know when you're going to need that person. Stop hating. Start appreciation for life, the gift of life. That's what we got here. We got a new lease on life. God has gave us another chance to live, man. So I just want to thank y'all for giving me an opportunity to put some foundation on my recovery. Because when the next storm comes, I'm going to be ready. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank Jimmy for sharing. Our second speaker is a guy that I had the pleasure of hearing 3 times while I was in treatment. So if I didn't further, I'm going to give y'all Butch.
Come on, Butch. Oh.
My name is Butch-O-Matic.
Oh, man, it's been a long, long day. Jimmy, I got the $15 if you want to straighten up that last storm. I was sitting there thinking when he said it was $35, he needed $15 to make it $50. I help him out. I was sitting there thinking while Jimmy was talking, what storm really means to me. And Jimmy covered a lot of storms, but I kept thinking about what storms really mean to me. I'm going to flip back and forth between the storm that I had when I showed and the storm that I got when I got you. See, there's a difference between the active addiction type of a storm, because I didn't know that was a storm. See, you got to know when you're in a storm. See, when I agreed to start shooting dope, it wasn't a storm. That was a love affair. That wasn't a storm. See, I think sometimes we confuse love affairs with storms, because I knew that I had a love affair, Wayne. It wasn't a storm until the drugs said it was a storm. Because I'm like him. I shot dope for 20 years. I drank everything under the sun. See, I have no drug of choice. So that wasn't a storm. That was an affair that I had for 25 years. And every time I told myself not to use, my love affair showed up, not a storm. Because my mind was so much in denial, I couldn't recognize a storm until I got here. See, I lived in a bubble for a long time. I ain't know nothing about no storm. All I knew is I was real skinny, standing in front of a mirror, and I thought I had a chest. That wasn't a storm. Because mirrors make things look big. I was weighing 120. You could count my ribs 2 blocks away. That wasn't a storm. I had a muscle. I'm talking about active addiction when you in a storm and don't know you in a storm. When I picked up, I was 6 years old. I drank a big, my mother had a fifth of Manischewitz wine, who she was saving for a friend, who happened to be me. So I stole it. I said, this is the biggest grape soda I've ever seen. So I drank all of it. I left her a corner. But not knowing it's a storm, I didn't die. You talking about a 6-year-old kid drinking a quart of wine. Believe it or not, God was already doing what he was supposed to be doing back then, because I didn't know nothing about no storms. I found out after I got here what a storm was like. My sponsor told me one time, he said, sanity is madness. And the maddest of all is to see things as they really are and not as they should be. That's a storm. Because now I woke up in here with y'all. Now I can't use. Now, Houston, we got a problem. Because I can't drink anything. I can't shoot anything. I can't use anybody to get through what I got to get through in here. Sure, I've been through a lot of storms. But like I said, I didn't realize it was a storm until 1976 in the back seat of a Nova. You know how warm it gets in the month of February? Around February the 28th. When it's colder on the inside of a car than it is on the outside of a car. That's when I realized I was having a storm. When I came up out that car thinking to myself, I can't think anymore. I wasn't worried about finding veins anymore. I was worried about what I was thinking. I am thinking suicidal, homicidal. I wanted to die. That was the first storm. Because I didn't know who to go to. But I always had a feeling that God was working behind the scenes. Because that's what happens to me. See, I had to have another love affair. I had to fall in love with the very thing that I didn't like. Y'all told me, you know what? My sponsor used to tell me, he said, Butch, have you ever thought, call me to tell me what you're thinking about? I said, why? He said, because I'm going to tell you whether you should be thinking of that. A storm. And what I'm saying is, when I can't correctly adjust myself to where I am in trouble. And that's the reason why I come here. Drugs was just a part of the problem. The storm showed up when life showed up again. Because, see, I put my life on layaway. You know the little God window you go to when you start out? You walk up and you hand them a bag this big. You're 6, 7 years old. You say you was 10. You give them a bag this big. 20 years later when you come back, you got luggage. Mm-hmm. And you wondering where it came from, Teddy. Is this mine? God said, you left it here a little while back. I've been holding it. And what we're going to do is because you refuse to deal, I'm going to put you with some people who are going to help you go in this luggage and take out one piece at a time. And this is what we're going to roll with. I got 12 steps that's going to help you find out just how good you really are. That was a storm. I didn't recognize what good was. First of all, my whole idea was to stay in a fantasy. That's what drugs did for me. Kept me in a fantasy. Now you're telling me I gotta change. The first storm I went through, the second one really, was when I came here, my first wife waited until I was clean 2 years to divorce me. She wanted to make damn sure I wasn't gonna get drunk, come around there and mess with her no more. She waited patiently. My God said to say, he's clean now. Why don't you? She said, no, I'm watching. 1979, I got the call. Butch, yeah, I want a divorce. I said, for what? 14 years, I took her through some stuff. She said, I want a divorce. I said, why? I mean, you know, because I was really in love with my first wife. That's what it boiled down to. But she couldn't take no more of me. And I thought that was a storm until Doreen whispered in my ear and said, you do not realize you are getting your freedom back. And she wasn't talking against my first wife. What she was saying is, Butch, because you don't know anything about you yet, if you went back there now, you are just dry. What I'm saying to you is something that he mentioned before. First, I'm a drunk and a high fool. Once I get clean, I'm just a damn fool. And the storm's going to keep on coming as long as I think the way I think. See, a lot of us are bent on, I'm clean, and that's all I need. No, if you're clean, and that's all you need, you're getting ready for some bad weather. You ever notice what happens when bad weather comes? Trees bend with the wind, don't they? They've kind of bend with the wind. But if we don't understand bad weather, we can't bend. We snap. So I learned that every time I see a storm, I know now that the sun is going to shine. See, adversity is success. Persecution is a preparation for a miracle. That's why I got to go through the storm. I can't duck them no more. See, every time I duck the storm, I miss what God had for me. Mainly because I didn't want to grow up. I was 29 years old, and emotionally, I'm still 12. And you telling me I should act like a man? Shit, you crazy. I didn't even want to take the trash out. You telling me to act like a man? And then by this time, I had a rack of kids. 6 daughters. Y'all look at that as punishment. But it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Because God was preparing me for some more storms. Because one of those daughters, the third one, be careful who you tell to kiss the lower part of your anatomy when you're on your way up. Because you might be passing theirs on the way back down. I got a daughter who's just like me in drag. You know what I mean? Beady eyes and all. This girl, I was diagnosed with head and throat cancer in 1996. Y'all want to talk about a storm? This child was about in her late 20s at the time. She lived in North Carolina with her husband. She came home when I got sick. Have you ever had one of your children to put diapers on you? I was hooked to everything but a washer and a dryer in that hospital. Jimmy, I used to watch the heart machine. See, the addict in me tells me as long as that damn line don't straighten out, shit, I got a shot at the title. I used to watch the machine like I really could do something about it. I'm watching people. And in my mind, I'm saying, just don't stop that shit there. Because I wanted to live. Once in my life, I wanted to live through a storm instead of doing what I used to do, run from a storm. You know what? This girl used to change my diapers. She used to empty them old balls because cancer stinks. You hear me? And I got got a check in the mail. You talking about a storm. I stopped smoking in 1977. They found nicotine residue in my tonsils in 1996. That's a storm. That man looked in my throat and he said, I can tell you used to smoke cigarettes. I had cancer for 18 years and didn't know I had it. You talking about a storm? God was already doing this thing. That's a storm. But I didn't even know I was in a storm. God's so good, they say grace gives everything to people that don't deserve a damn thing. Don't deserve nothing. When that man told me, you have advanced form cancer, you got 20% to live, 5 to 7 years. I got to tell y'all, this is the 10th year and I'm still here. I lost my oldest daughter. Why we say we lose people? We didn't bring them out. I gotta stop saying that. I know I didn't lose her. She died. Real simple. In my arms. She had cancer too. 37 years old. I kissed her on her jaw and told her, hey, I owed her $20 too. I gotta straighten that out. I whispered in her ear because my sense of humor has always carried me. You hold your child, your first child. Now, I know we lose people, so we say. But I still have not felt the whole process of that yet, because it's only been about a year and a half since she's been gone. And her and I had the type of relationship where we used to talk about everything. So she told me, I am going to die. But you and I are part of each other. So I saw you fight for your life, so I'm going to fight for mine, even though I know I'm going to die. I'm not going to give in to this, because I know that you are there, because she was there for me. But I had to accept the fact. Now, my daughter got a strange sense of humor, too. This is how she helped me with that storm. She called me one night, her doctor and her mother, and they said, look, you got to start preparing things for this girl because she's getting ready to go. Desi asked me, Dad, how you feel about me dying? I say, honey, look, this is the way I'm looking at it. I say, I've always felt that kids should outlive their parents. I said, but in this case, I'm going to have to deal. I got real quiet. You know what she said next? She said, don't worry about it. We're going to all see each other at the funeral. Because she was trying to lessen the blow of the storm. Because she knew where I was with this. And when she died, all I could say to her was, I'll pay you your $20 when I see you again. That's all I could think of saying. Sure, I did the normal thing that we do. We cry and we go through whatever we're going through. But I kept thinking about this word adversity. What is adversity? Adversity is when the storm comes through and tear the land up. And when you look again, there's some pretty flowers growing. So you got to go through the storm. If you duck and step work, you crazy as hell. I don't care what your sponsor say. I'm telling you tonight. I've been here 28 years. I still am involved with the steps of this program. Get cute and don't work. You ain't seen no storm yet. Try to be blind after you found out something about yourself. Sit there like these meetings, osmosis going to get you through a storm and you ain't going to feel nothing. The only reason why relationships don't work, because we ain't working. The reason why my relationship wasn't working with the females that I was dealing with, because I was competing instead of being around, I'm competing. My mother told me a long time ago, if you're in a relationship and you're competing, you're in the wrong relationship. Another storm I had never ever, Jimmy, told myself I love me. How can you love somebody and you can't look in the mirror yourself? Small storm. I got a son that got shot 6 times. He told me the thing that saved his life was something I told him when he was little. I said, if you ever get hurt real bad, tell yourself to slow everything down. He said, what do you mean? I said, just try not to think about what's happening right at that moment. Just slow everything down. He got shot 6 times in every vital organ you can hit a person in. At the night that he got shot, let me show you how storms work and how God works. I was in the studio doing the show. This guy right here, sitting up front, we were in the show. I couldn't come off the air and go see what was going on with him because we was in the middle of a show. Barry got the phone call, called, looked at me. I saw this funny look on his face. He came around. We had, 15 more minutes to show to do? Barry whispered in my ear, Mark been shot. He didn't say whether he was dead or alive. I had to close my eyes and ask God this time. I said, hey, here's a storm. What do I do? He said, finish this show. I got him. Finish the show, I got him. So I had to fake a smile in front of a camera and keep doing what I was doing. You remember that, Ronnie? And when I came up out of there, I didn't know what to do. But I've got people who have helped me go through storms. The reason why I don't work steps, I get involved with steps. I don't tell you, well, I'm on this step and that step. I don't know what the hell step I'm on most of the time. All I know is these things have unraveled inside of me to show me who I really am. When I came here, you know what I said? My name is Butch and I'm an addict. My birthday is 3/2/47. That means I'm 58 years old. I look at a driver's license. Well, I had some teeth then, but you know how they go. No, I got to tell y'all about this. This is funny. Man, I was eating a sandwich in the kitchen. I was talking to my wife. And she's looking at me smiling. And I felt this rush of air. On this side. You know, just a cool breeze went through. John, I said, the fuck? I swallowed 2 teeth. I say, Now, my wife got 2 missing on this side, so now we look like brother and sister. Now, image-wise, that could have been a what? Storm. Because you know how we are about our face. After we get clean, I mean. See, when we use it, it don't matter what we look like. But when you get clean, you know, you go beat that thing up, put all kind of makeup on it. It don't do a whole lot, a hell of a lot of good, but we do it anyway. And then we come out of the house looking like clowns and shit, you know, shit all eyelashes. We got eyelashes that belong to somebody else, teeth that belong to somebody else. He just talked about his hips. Teddy got 2 false hips, a false lip. Matter of fact, he's the bionic man over there in the corner. And I used to tease him about that. But the only reason why I'm saying that, because I've been with him through some of his storms. You understand what I'm saying? So when you get ready to go through a storm, always remember that you might have to help somebody else go through theirs. So when I lost this teeth and this tooth right here, I was eating a piece of chicken. I said, I'm going to stop eating every goddamn thing. Look like everything I touch, I lose a tooth. I went on the air looking just like this. They said, Butch, aren't you afraid? No, because I know now who's in the storm with me. If I get caught up on what I look like, I would never do anything. And that's a trick of my addiction. I will make you look stupid if you allow me to, and you won't do anything. Stop paying attention to this. This is just the thing that carried you, that's inside of you, that makes you anyway. I had to learn all these things. I got no muscles on this side. Lymph nodes gone. The cancer ate me up. I was wearing Depends. Depends. And people talk about storms. You talk about, oh, he left me. Thank God. She left. Thank God. Because if y'all fighting every day, you ain't had shit going nowhere. Sex is a pleasure if you love who you having sex with. If I don't feel that way going in, then I probably won't feel that way coming out. That's another storm. All of it begins to look the same. That's why when you mention 3 or 4 women, I'm 58 years old. What the hell am I going to do with 3 or 4 women anyway? My wife have trouble with me now. She said, how you feel? I don't know. Let me check. Image. You brothers, you know, let me talk to y'all brother for a minute about a storm. I called Teddy one morning. I said, Teddy, I said, you know what Donna told me, man? We had just, you know how you, when you think you there, I'm trying to be nice. Oh, we was rolling. So I'm standing up by the bathroom, Jimmy, butterball naked. Knock knees and all, you know what I mean? She laying across the bed looking at me smiling. Shit. You know, y'all. Feeling pretty sporty. Until she pulled. She looked at me and said, "Hey, boo." I said, "See, look at the little ding ding." She said, "It's sitting on top of them." Man, this program, I looked down and I had to laugh myself. That could have been a storm. Because most of us brothers put too much play on what we carry between our legs. Let me tell you something. It ain't nothing but a dust flap. Keep dust out your ass anyway. That don't make me a man. I'm telling you what the fellowship has taught me about certain storms. Some storms I go through, yeah, they personally bother me. But when I get caught on what I look like, how I do it, let me tell you something. If I keep looking down here thinking about what, look, I got 6 kids. Something must have happened. And I wasn't drunk all the time either. So it ain't about, and then women lie. You know, some women lie. "I like them big." No, you don't. Stop telling that damn lie. You're going to meet a horse. You get ready to take yourself through some shit you really don't want to go through. Yeah, we got to be careful what we say. I ain't no lie. You know what? We asked for storm. We're coming to meeting, and I want to share. My life ain't worth a fucking. I'm distant. Blah, blah. And then you wonder why you feel bad when you leave the meeting. Guess what you just did? You co-signed the Grim Reaper. I heard the brother downstairs say that. Feed yourself negative information. This is not going to work. Sure, you share your experience, your strength, your hope, what's on my mind. But when I leave this room, I should be feeling better than I did when I came in here. Leave the greasy bag in here. Don't drag it down the hall. Some of us share, go out the room, drag it down the hall with you, and then go, "Man, that program don't work." But I ain't reading nothing. They say when you take something out, you got to put something in. Because he said it. The storm going to come. It don't matter how good y'all, how saved y'all. Look, I went through the ministry. I caught more hell after I got ordained than I ever caught in my life. And I said, "Reb, what's going on?" He said, "Because you dare to be different. The adversary has to attack you now. That's the reason why you go through what you go through. Anytime you accept the 12 steps of this program, you're getting ready to catch hell. And you might as well get ready for it. And ain't no sense in whining about it, because it's going to happen whether you're here or not. This is the new mafia. Once you get in, you can't get out. And if you leave, your ass die. And if you think I'm lying, Jimmy just told you how quick he got back. Jimmy, I'm a slow dope fiend. I didn't get the crack. Thank God I didn't, because I would have got clean when I was 15. I've never heard a long crack story. I've heard guys use heroin for 20 years, use crack for 6 months. They're either looking for treatment or making plans for their funeral. One of the two. Ain't no in between in that thing. So when I came here, my whole objective at the time was, first of all, we didn't use the word clean back then, because when I came in, there wasn't but 5 NA meetings in the area, and they were called Addicts Anonymous, not Narcotics Anonymous. That's how long ago this thing been going on. But I learned back then. They handed me a book. They said, "Butch, don't worry about working these, but read them until they run out of your ears." I said, "Why?" Because Doreen used to say, "Pain is getting ready to come." And she was talking about the storm. She said, "Because once you wake up, once you become alive again, Butch, there are some things that you got to do. The first painful storm you're going to go through is growing up. You're full grown, and you're growing up. And it hurts like hell." Okay. You go home, look at your kids, and you're the same age they are. You pouting, they pouting. You wonder why they ain't paying you no attention? Because you're the same damn age they are. Why should they pay you any attention? I'm your mother. Shit. Yeah, right. When you show me her, I'll talk to her. Your lips further off than mine. Yeah, you talking about you, my mother. So I had to learn these things. Y'all taught me step by step how to go through the storms of life, but understand every time there's a storm, there's sunshine afterwards. How many of y'all been on an airplane? You know what an airplane does when it starts raining? When the storm is blazing, what they do? They rise above the clouds. And you don't even know the storm's happening. So God is telling you tonight, just rise above the cloud. Sure you gonna hurt. Sure people gonna die. You might die. But understand that if I can rise above the cloud, If I could just get a peek at the sunshine, I know that the storm ain't gonna last forever. Nothing ever does anyway. And if I die, I won't know the difference any damn way. So the thing is, just rise above. They say if you want to see a spiritual person, watch a person that rise above their present condition to do what they need to do and not what they want to do. I am tired sometimes. I've been half asleep all day long. But I wouldn't have missed this for the world, because this gives you an opportunity. It gives me an opportunity to tell you that a storm is just that. It blows, then it stops. Some of you that say this is going too long because you're still thinking about it. The storm probably is over. You're just still thinking about it. I learned that storms are only here. A lot of storms have passed in my life. I almost died 3 times in here with 17 years clean. Every time I came out of operation, they was, you know, when the doctors get in those huddles and they don't invite you to them, that's rough. They're over in the corner talking. And then they look over at you and go, your ass can be checked out. And you wondering why you ain't invited in that circle, you know? And they look at you and go, something wrong. But I came through. But let me tell you what comes with storms. I got to wind this up. And I got to talk about this guy, because I think it was the second operation guy. I woke up in the hospital, or half work, I should say. And let me show you what love does. See, storms bring the amount of love that you probably need to experience when you're in a storm. I woke up, blood was all over me because they had just finished operating on me. I couldn't talk. I had that thing down my throat and the whole 9 yards. And I woke up to see this guy right here leaning on the bed. The nurse came in with a little pan to clean me up. You know what he did? He said, Can I love him enough? And I was in bad shape. I still don't know how you did that. I had those staples in my neck all the way down. They had opened me up like a big Y. And he, with the cotton balls, was standing there with tears running down his cheeks, dabbing. I felt a sense of love in the middle of that storm that I have not experienced in a long time, Gary Bell. I will never, ever forget that. You have to invite somebody into your life.
That's right, George.
When you're going through storms. Can't push everybody away. This is not a selfish program as you think it may be, because we all need each other, don't we, Wayne? Man, you talking about something. Speed came to my room one day and told me, said, Butch, take a deep breath. Can you breathe? I said, just a little. I took a breath. He said, boy, you got a shot at the title. Huh? Right in the middle of the storm. I was sitting in the bathroom. I rolled up in a knot. That dude there called me and said, hey, you can't die, because I'll kill you. He wanted to do something else to me, but I won't talk about that here tonight. But I'm just telling you, man. The storm's going to come. And they're going to come now, because you can handle them now. The reason why they didn't come and you didn't recognize them when you were high, because you couldn't handle it then. But if you just remember that God's working behind the scene, there's no storm that you're going to go through that you won't be able to live through. Just invite somebody in, and they'll stand in the fire with you. It doesn't make it easy. It just makes it simple. There's a lady here tonight who told me that something was wrong with me. I would have never known, thank you, darling, I would have never known that I had a problem until she said, something is wrong with your neck. We're talking about a storm. Me and that lady had really no reason to be talking to each other at the time, because we had just broke up. But when you cut people completely off, see, I might not have realized I had cancer until she said, something is wrong with your neck. But if I had cut off, you know, I ain't talking to that woman no more, I might not have been here tonight. Be careful who you push away when you're in a storm. Don't sit by yourself in a storm. That's what I'm saying. I'm here today because God and y'all have stood in my storms with me. There's a lot of people in here who have stood in my storms with me. And I stand in people's storms with them. Not because I'm a good guy, because it's healthier that way. You know what I mean? So y'all hang tough. And thank y'all for letting me share.
Thank you. Yeah.